Hello, everybody. We are back. I'm Tom Sosnoff here with Tom Preston. And, man, we got a lot of stuff going on this week, TP.
It's been a good week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Been a content-packed week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. TP finishing up the week, sitting in for the bat. He'll be back on Monday. And we've got little Mr. Victor Jones here today.
Little Mr. Victor Jones? That's how you're going to introduce
I said we big, have a little.
Patronizing intro.
No.
No, I said we have a little Mr. Victor. We have a little bit like.
You
like,
didn't put the A in there. I heard it too, Victor. I heard it too.
You know what?
Okay. I'll say it. We have little Victor Jones here. He doesn't like that.
I'm not going to stand for your microaggressions this morning. Quite frankly, we've got problems in America. Tom, TP, Tasty Nation, and I came here to resolve them. There are two issues I care about today, gentlemen, and two issues alone. And I know, Tom, you haven't had the greatest run on your last couple of podcasts. And I don't mean that you've haven't been able to defend yourself in your conversations with Dylan. What I mean is, you know, your positions might be seen as a bit elitist in a world of sort of this populist revolt.
I don't see my positions as being elitist, but thank you.
I know you don't, but that's what an elitist would say. So, Tom, I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning, my friend, to redeem yourself with the good people of America who are fighting back against the centralized power in this great country of ours. I'm going to talk first about shrinkflation, and then I'm going to talk about the retirement age. First, shrinkflation, everybody. You know, I thought what was fueling inflation in this country was deficit spending. I thought what was fueling this country was a 40% monetary expansion over a two-year period during the COVID epidemic. I thought what was fueling it was a $34 trillion debt, adding $1 trillion every 100 days. Little did I know, my friends, it was actually shrinkflation all along. It's smaller boxes of Cocoa Puffs, smaller boxes of Gatorade, and smaller toilet tissue paper. In our good friend Bob Casey, who's a senator for Pennsylvania, shout out to everybody listening in Pennsylvania, home of Rocky. I'm sorry, I'm on one this morning. they introduced the Shrinkflation Prevention Act, everybody. No fear. Price controls are here. Over the past few years, this document reads, greedflation has fueled rising costs facing American families. Greedflation occurs when corporations use inflation as a cover for price increases, inflating their own profits in the process. I'm not going to read this entire paper, but I'm going to tell you what it does, Tom. Specifically, the Shrinkflation Prevention Act of 2024 would direct the FTC to promulgate regulations to establish shrinkflation as an unfair, deceptive act or practice prohibiting manufacturers from engaging in shrinkflation. It would authorize the FTC to pursue civil actions against corporations who engage in shrinkflation, and would authorize state attorneys general, to bring civil actions against corporations engaging in shrinkflation. Now, I ain't had much schooling, gentlemen, but at some level, this sounds like an introduction of price control to me. This sounds like a mechanism to prevent a corporation from establishing a price and a quantity that they feel meets or exceeds the cost of production in order to establish a profitable enterprise. And I thought the idea of a healthy economy was a thriving, competitive marketplace. I did not think that the idea behind a competitive economy was the government mandating whether or not a corporation could increase or decrease its price and or quantity. Tom, I am curious. NTP, what say you about the Shrinkflation Prevention Act of 2024?
Well, first of all, I don't think you really did a very fair job with that. I think that was a pretty skewed explanation.
That's fair.
I mean,
that's fair.
Of shrinkflation.
Okay. Listen, meaning
I didn't steel man the other side of this argument.
Yeah,
that's fair,
yeah,
but that's your job, Tom.
The government, I mean, in this case, the legislative acts are strictly designed to prevent corporations from misleading consumers. That's all it is. And that's essentially what their role is. You know, if you talk about regulators in general, the role is to protect the consumer, because the consumer can't protect themselves. It's almost impossible. The only thing the consumer can do is boycott a product, which on their own is quite difficult. Plus you just don't know.
Oh, no. It's not you boycott. You just don't buy it and you buy something else.
You just buy, the same thing. You buy something else, but you don't know. And the point here is it's just a deceptive sales practice that they're trying to eliminate. They're not saying, hey, we're not trying to set price for you. If you want to raise your prices, raise your prices. There's no controls over that. I mean, you can raise your price to whatever you want. That's not the issue here. The issue here is it's about misleading consumers. And I think you're trying, you know, you're confusing those two things. You're putting them in the same box.
Using them.
I think the issue I have with it, Victor, is it sounds to me like a very ad hoc law where, and again, I didn't read it. I'm hearing it, you know, from you for the first time. And yeah, I think you gave it a fair description. I see this as scoring maybe political points, first of all. I don't think it may be used in court once or twice this year and then just sit on the books forever unused. I don't think you need a law to cover shrinkflation. There's already stuff in the FTC. There's probably stuff in the USDA.
Well, it's obviously hard to enforce it.
And it should be because why can't a company say, look, I want to keep the box of Oreos at a dollar. That means I got to take a couple Oreos out. People still like their Oreos. They don't want to pay through the nose for the Oreos. Okay. And I think shrinkflation is, I don't know, whatever. It's kind of the economic meme of 2024.
Listen, it's all about consumer protection. That's all this is. Let's not make this into anything more than it is.
It's consumer protection. Protecting.
The regulators have a role, which is to protect the consumer. If corporations are going to, you know, try to fool the consumer, however it may be, which in many cases that's what this is all about. Let us just be honest about it. Hey,
The bigger issue, Victor.
We're raising our price, or we're making our boxes.
The bigger issue, Victor, is that we're separating the world into two types of people: the people that control things, maybe like you and Tom, and the consumers. The 1% versus the consumers. That's what it is. The people make the. Those Oreos are too expensive, Victor, or those Fruit Loops are too cheap. The consumers will get mad. And that's what it is. You guys hash out the price of the Fruit Loops and the Oreos, and the 99% of the consumer, that's what it is. That's consumers versus everybody else.
I don't understand how you could think it's anything other than consumer protection.
I'll explain to you.
I just think it's a useless friend,
and I'm so glad you asked me that question, Thomas. I am tired, as a consumer of this country, being thought of as a guy who's too damn stupid to look at the damn packaging and understand.
I'm sorry, but we all are. That's not a question of stupidity.
Hold on, my friend. Not only do I look at the damn packaging to understand the quantity, but I also divide price by quantity to understand what I'm buying per gram or per ounce. Not only do I do that, Mr. Thomas Sosnoff Elite, who is here to protect me from my own stupidity, what I also do, my friend, is I read those goddamn ingredients, and I read all the poison that they put in those stupid Oreos. I read all the poison.
That's a different question. That's a different topic.
Okay, so the government can protect me, my friend. They can protect me from two less Oreos in a package, but they don't give a goddamn about what's in the damn Oreo.
Thank you, Victor.
Problem. Hey, calm this down, Sparky. Problem. You're talking about two completely.
Victor.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Victor.
Protect me as the consumer. They're feeding me poison, but because they give me two less of the poison instruments, you think that they're doing the right thing on my behalf. And you know what? I would rather
and another thing.
Small business economy. I would rather a ton of new small grocers in this country, and I'd rather pay for shrinkflation for those small businesses than be giving up money to Walmart, to be giving up money to Target, to be giving up money to Amazon, to be taking money out of our communities. That takes money, political capital out of our communities.
You're mixing Victor, all these. You're just throwing everything into one pot.
Victor, Tom didn't even know what the food pyramid was.
Hey, this is angry guy.
Okay,
Angry guy. He
didn't even know what the food pyramid was.
Angry Victor Jones ranting at the world here. Okay, let me just explain something. You go into a supermarket, the last thing I want to do is get behind a wall of people that are reading how many Oreos are in the bag. No. I'm so freaking sorry. No, you're right. All right. I just want to go in and grab the bag and I'm
because
done.
Because what they do, if you actually went into a store, they show you the price per ounce, right, Victor?
Oh my God. We're now looking at price per ounce.
Well, that's
something.
What it is. It's like, look, I got to buy some. If I want to make hot dog water for my dogs.
Okay.
If I need to make 5 gallons of hot dog water for Slimmy,
yeah,
I need to buy the cheapest hot dogs I can. I'm not dollars per ounce.
This whole thing garbage. All right, I'm not.
By the way, I want you to know, for the last 2 weeks, you're batting 0% for the people. I'm going to give you your last chance.
Okay, please give me the last chance. Because
let him redeem himself, Victor.
Thing is ridiculous.
I'm asking you for your own reputation, my friend. This is a layup. I know there's nothing you would rather do than read Larry Fink's annual letter, Thomas. So I'm sure you're well read on this particular subject. But earlier this week, Larry Fink put out his annual letter. And in that annual letter, he outlined a retirement crisis in America.
Yes.
I don't think anyone would disagree that Social Security has issues. If we don't do anything about it, at our current pace, we're on track to deplete by 8 or 9 years.
Yes.
I don't want to go into that too much. You're welcome to if you want.
Yes.
The basic premise is in this letter, Larry Fink alludes to rethinking retirement age. I got a bit of an issue that he won't just say it directly. Rethinking the retirement age means raise the retirement age. That's not a politically popular thing to do. So he danced around the topic in a fairly, intelligent way. My question to you, Tom, to all those hardworking Americans out there who have put 40 years into a labor-intensive job, that they've been standing on their feet on the promise that one day they would get to sit down and enjoy their latter years with their grandchildren, do we need to change or raise the retirement age in your personal opinion, Thomas?
100%. Actually, I wrote about this last weekend, and not because Larry Fink wrote about it. I didn't even know his. I don't read his newsletter or any of that crap. But the simple answer is, and I'm not even a Larry Fink fan, just for your own, so you know where I stand on him. He hung up on me once, and I will never forget that. But I am, yes, I do not believe the current retirement age makes no sense. I don't care if somebody's worked for 30 or 40 years and doing whatever. That's not relevant here. What's relevant here is that. And I don't like the word retirement at all because I don't think that anybody ever needs to, quote, retire. I think that this is something that you just move on to the next gig or you move on to whatever you choose to do next because we need to stay busy because that's how we stay alive. And I think the retirement age, which was originally set at like 62 or I think it was around 62 for getting Social Security or 65, whatever it is absolutely ridiculous. People live longer now. They work longer. 62 is the new 42. And to think that somebody at 62 should retire, it's absolutely ridiculous. Or they should even be like their question, why are you not retiring? It makes no sense. So people can work until their late 70s, 80s, 90s. I don't know. Why not? It makes no sense that this whole concept of a retirement age. I mean, if he was saying that the retirement age needs to be reviewed, which I don't understand why he didn't just come out and say what he wanted to say, but the retirement age doesn't need to be reviewed. The whole idea of retirement needs to be retired. It needs to be put to bed.
So, and again, Victor, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when they came up with Social Security back in the 1930s, you had grandma living in a tar paper shack in the mountain. She didn't have anything. And one bad rainstorm washed the shack away. It was kind of to keep grandma off the streets, little bit. Mm-hmm. Now things have indeed changed, right? That, and my point is that if you need the money, to stay off the streets and keep body and soul together, you should get the Social Security. Whether you're 60, 65, whatever. If you can work and you're still earning a marketable wage that pays your bills, well, then no, you know, you wouldn't get that. I think the first thing to do that I don't think should be politically volatile, but means test it. You know, if I'm earning $150,000 a year from my investments as a retired, you know, as a 75-year-old, should I be getting Social Security? Should I be getting, like, you know, $1,500 a month?
But that's a whole different argument. We're talking about retirement.
No, but it is the whole point. You're arguing about the retirement age, Tom. That's not going... You get people too angry. You need to find a quicker solution to, because he alluded to it at this point. Victor, you're saying, yeah, Social Security has problems running out of money. A way to slow it down is to means test, I think, Social Security before you start looking at raising the retirement age.
TP 2024, I'm on board, and there's still time, TP. There is still time.
But I don't understand what your whole argument here is, Victor. I mean,
it's the idea that some people like us, we can work well into our 60s and 70s, because what do? We rely on our brains and we press buttons with our fingers. Some people who swing a 20-ounce framing hammer all day, they're tapped out by the time they're 55.
Okay, so what?
Well, so what?
They can do something else. If they want.
Like
they
what?
But if they, it doesn't matter. But if they don't want to do something else, they don't have to. The whole point is retirement.
Then fine. You could get presumably retirement benefits at 55.
When you
need the money, you take the money.
Yeah, sure. But the whole idea of retirement just doesn't make any sense to me.
You know what this is, Victor?
Could I say this? That we live in an incredible country. And we live in an incredible country where we can hold different values. And Tom, there may be many people like you who derive a lot of their personal satisfaction out of what they do on a daily basis.
Sure.
There may be many more people who are not necessarily living to work, but they're working to live. And at the end of the day, they would like to take a few good years and spend it with their family. They worked 8, 12, 16-hour days. They forfeited their children growing up, their formative years. They now have some time with their grandchildren. Their feet are hurting. Their knees do not have any more cartilage. Their backs are aching. Hold on.
Oh, my God.
And maybe, just hold on, maybe, just maybe, your generation came of age in an amazing time where all of these programs were
that's available. Such garbage.
Hold on, can you let me finish my point, my friend? I sat waiting patiently for you to spew your nonsense.
Go ahead. Listen
to me spew mine.
I'm just getting sick. That's okay.
Maybe, just maybe, you know, the solution to all of our problems, now that you've ran all of our programs down to empty, isn't, guess what, kids, a better world. That world that we lived in, it's not here anymore. So get used to it. Roll up your sleeves, get out there and work harder. Doesn't matter that the average cost of a house went from $200,000 to $400,000. Work harder. Doesn't matter that I had to compete with Bill down the street, but you're competing with superhuman AI. Work harder. Doesn't matter that I had all of these safety nets and entitlement programs to help me just in case, so I felt safe. Get out there, work harder. Doesn't matter that America was the number one economic engine of the world, and all of a sudden you were going to grow up in a place where you were competing fiercely with another nation in China. Doesn't matter, work harder. I wish we lived in a world right now, and I believe we need it more than ever, people who have empathy. I think the older generation needs empathy for a younger generation. I think the left needs empathy for the right. I think if we had a little bit more empathy, we might be able to build a world that looks a little bit more optimistic, and maybe kids wouldn't be so nihilistic about their existence. My friends, that's going to be my time. Hopefully I don't get canceled off this episode.
Victor, the only thing I'd say is I've known Tom for a while. He usually doesn't get this angry about this sort of thing. What I'm suspecting is that the cashier at Trader Joe's asked him if he needed help with his bags to the car. Somebody said, somebody hinted that he might be a little old, and that hit him hard. I'm just sensing, because I've known him for a long time.
I just love the millennial argument. With this, I love this argument because it's like, oh, woe is me. My generation, we never had a chance. We were competing with China. Like we grew up, okay,
under a nuclear cloud.
In the middle of a recession, in the middle of the Cold War, okay?
Interest rates were 15%.
20% when I got out of college.
20%.
You couldn't even get a job interview. I like how you go, oh, everything was handed to us. And then, of course, everybody else needs to take a break, but people that have worked really hard, they don't, just because I say they want to keep working, you're like, oh, my God. You know, you think that.
No, I didn't.
But you make it sound as if we're here still doing what we're doing. You make it sound that there's something wrong with doing what you love to do. And you make it seem like if you're doing something that you love to do, you didn't work hard to get there.
By the way, if you ever entered in an official debate, you would be disqualified like a million times.
You just went off in six different tangents.
All of your. That's not true. I didn't say that at all.
But no, you went off, started with a discussion on retirement, and you took it down to like, oh my God, I'm a millennial, I'm competing against China or AI. Like, that wasn't the point. Man. All I'm saying is you put your whole kind of generation into this woe is me class. And I just think it's completely unfair. And then you say to the boomers, oh my God, you guys, you know, you had everything. You were handed everything. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
What I'm saying is I'm incredibly appreciative of the opportunities I'm being given. I am not like the average, and I'm thankful for that. There is no woe is me part to the Victor Jones story. It is a story of overcoming adversity. It's a story of incredible luck and opportunity. There is no woe is me.
So embrace it then, instead of...
No, but what I am also saying is I look at my fellow citizens and I see a lack of vision. I see a lack of hope and inspiration. I see a lack of leaders telling an incredible story of tomorrow that the country can rally around. And we got to tell that better story. We need leaders who can inspire this generation and the next with a vision of our future. And
You do that at the polls. Oh my God.
All politics is local. Give me a break. You want me to believe that there's a superhero that's going to come along once every 4 years? Give me a break.
No, not once every polls,
man. Not that in your everyday lives.
No superhero once every 4 years, but you do it at the polls. That's how you get that kind of change. Yes. It's not from standing on your soapbox, you know, screaming and yelling, whatever.
Okay, that's fair. Let me say this to the people. He's absolutely right. I think you're wrong in that you do. Let me start over. Scratch that. Reverse it. Let's go again. 1, 2, 3, and action. You do participate in your civic duty once every 4 years, once every 2 years, local, state, and federal elections. But I also believe, Tom, that you can't hope that somebody else is going to come along and fix all of our problems. It's all of our individual responsibilities, man. And we all have individual circumstances that are different. And I believe my mom, who worked in a factory for 32 years, my grandfather, who worked in a factory for 35 years, they have a different perspective than you, my friend. And when they got to the end, they were hoping that the Social Security and their pension was going to take care of them, that they could enjoy their family. It's just a different perspective. And I respect your perspective. And I'm probably going to be like you. There's no part of me that wants to get to 65 and stop. I'm competitive, and I want something to do. Or else I'm going to waste away, and I don't want that to happen. But at the same time, I know not everybody's like me, and I don't think we should be forcing people to work into their 90s to get something that they pay.
I think more people are like you than you realize. And I think there's a lot more people that would choose, if they could choose, to continue to do the things that they love to do. And you're probably looking at, you know, you can make the same argument. I can make the same argument about your mom that she probably, if she had the choice to, would have continued to do.
This is where you're wrong. You're 100% wrong on that. Nice try. Swing and a miss.
Well, there are some, most people go to work because they earn money doing it. They would prefer to do something else for a living. You know, it's like, it's what they're able to get a job to do.
Do you think that's most people. Do you think most people work because they have to or because they want to?
Because they have to.
Really?
Have to.
But no. If you're talking about 350 million America, or what? How many adults are in America, Victor? 200 million or something like that, whatever the number is?
Whatever the number is.
200 million people, 95% of them do the work because they need the money. They don't do it because they love what they
do. What would 95% of the people do if they didn't work? This is what this argument drives me crazy.
But they have to.
But what would 95% of the people do if they didn't? If they didn't have to.
Watercoloring. I don't
right,
know.
Right. Exactly.
But that's my point is that you need
then you'd have enough time
you to need work. Those 190 million people well, to then, do the jobs that keep the country going. That's the point.
Well, according to Victor Jones, if the good thing about retirement is
so now he's blaming you, Victor.
No, the good thing about Victor Jones.
I want out of this. We had a great out about 6 minutes ago.
No, I just want to say the great thing about Victor. Victor, I just want to say the great thing is under your scenario, the good thing about retirement is you can spend most of your time in the supermarket reading the boxes. So
well done.
Now you have a reason to retire.
Get the best deal in your hot dog water.
And then you can tell everybody else.
It was a pleasure.
then you can put it on TikTok for all the other retirees.
Tune in to The Price of Truth at 5 p.m. Central Time today. Ed Yardini's going to be on the show. It's going to be a good conversation. I'm looking forward to it. Make sure you check out the other episodes. Yesterday, Ryan Grace put on an absolute clinic about why decentralization, why it's important to the young people of America, and Stephanie Link on Monday. It's been a great week. Check out all that stuff.
Thanks, Vic.
Thank you, Victor.
S&P's up 75 cents. NASDAQ down 13 after it tried to rally. And Dow down 9. What happened to Dow? A little reversal in there. Let's take a short break and come on back. Let's take a look. What do we got? Nah.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered